Good morning, Mount Olivet Baptist Church family members and friends. Our message this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 through 21. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This morning, I want to share from the subject, you can't fix it, but Jesus can. You can't fix it, but Jesus can. Most of us are familiar with hand-me-downs, and very few of us liked them when we were growing up. Like me, you probably had neighbors who had 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 or more children. There might be a year or two between them, and they all complained about wearing each other's clothes. Of course, those complaints were never expressed to their mother or father. They complained that their pants were always either too long or too short. Even as adults, we have been offered clothes that in our mind, we know they are not something we would wear, let alone go to the store and buy. Rather than cause any hurt, we humbly say yes and take the clothes anyway. All this does is set us up for the next dilemma when asked, did the clothes fit or have you worn them yet? That dilemma is we have to say we did when really we did not. Hand-me-downs do not have to look used, but they usually do. If you grew up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, it was not unusual to have patches on your pants. If you were a highly active child, you always had knee patches on your jeans. Some patches were stitched on and some were the iron-on type. If a button fell off your shirt, your mother would go to her button box and find one the same size to stitch back on. It did not have to be the same color, just the same size. No matter what kind of patchwork was done to your clothes, someone could easily tell your clothes were repaired or secondhand. And you might even have found it embarrassing if were not for the fact that all the other kids were wearing the same hand-me-downs. Your parents and mine called it making do. You and I do not like patches, and here is some good news. Jesus does not like patches either. Patches are a glaring revelation that your garment is flawed, not your cloth garment, your spiritual garment. Jesus wants you to look and feel all new, inside and out. Paul says that can only happen when we put on the newness of life and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. The world is full of people trying to clean up their own act. They try to quit drinking, quit abusing drugs, stop cheating, cease lying, or stop their endless criticism of others. But their efforts are nothing more than a patch if Christ is not their motivator. Superficial patches fall apart. When you slap on a patch, eventually the stitches will come loose. You miss so much when you try to fix things yourself. First and foremost, when you try to fix things yourself, you miss the cleansing power of an all-sufficient Christ. Sure, you can straighten up and fly right, as the saying goes, but your patches are still showing. You can scrub your stains all you want with all the strength you can muster, but you will still be dirty. You can cover your misdeeds with deeds of kindness and charity. You can be as philanthropic as you can afford to be, but you will still be nothing more than a patched up sinner. You and I just do not have the power to be perfect. In ancient times, the Pharisees would fast to cleanse themselves of their sins. The disciples of John the Baptist once asked Jesus about that. They asked Jesus, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not? Jesus said, why should they fast while I am still with them? The time will come for fasting when I am gone. Then Jesus explained why man's fasting was not a solution for sin. He said, no man uses a new piece of cloth to patch an old garment. Otherwise, when it is washed, the shrinkage of the new patch will make the tear worse. He also used the analogy of putting new wine into old bottles. He says, if you do, Jesus said, the bottles break, the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. In other words, Jesus was prophetically teaching that patches on the old covenant just would not work. What they needed was a new covenant, one that would liberate them from false and ineffective fasting. What they needed was an all-sufficient cleansing power, the power of a risen Christ. We do not have to try and patch ourselves up all by ourselves. Even Alcoholics Anonymous realized that back in 1935 in Akron, Ohio, real cleansing requires a higher power, a power that only God could provide through his son, Jesus Christ. What we need is a genuine come to Jesus moment. We just need to bring our repentant heart to Christ and let him do the rest. Isaiah prophesied, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. No more need to patch ourselves up. Christ has regarded our helpless estate as the hymn writer penned, and has shed his own blood for our souls. So self-applied patches cause us to miss out on a complete spiritual cleansing from an all-sufficient Christ. But that's not all we miss. Second, when you try to fix things yourself, you miss the constant refueling from a redeeming Savior. Jesus knows our weakness. He knows our every weakness. He knows every mistake we made, every sullied thought we have right now, and every wrong turn we are going to make in the future. That is why we need him. Christ not only paid it all on Calvary, but he continues to intercede on our behalf at the right hand of the Father. He is our mediator, our arbitrator, and our negotiator. When it comes to the status of our relationship with God, we are at best flawed images of God. Sin does so easily beset us. Even believers are subject to fall into sin. But Christ sits in the throne room of God and reminds his Father, our Father in heaven, every day, even day and night, that he paid the ultimate price of his own death on the cross for our sins. He paid the price for the lust in our hearts. He paid the price for our impatience toward others. He paid the price for our judgmental attitudes. He paid the price for our greed and dishonesty. Am I not on your street yet? He paid the price for the grudges we hold. He paid the price for the deceit and gospel we peddle. He paid the price for the mess we stir up. In other words, Christ has us covered by his redeeming blood that pulses through us daily. We are recipients of his grace shown through his redemptive power. My brothers and sisters, there's no need to slap a patch on every slip of the tongue or sidestep you take. Just take it to Jesus, and he will renew you with his redeeming love. So if you turn down a relationship with Jesus, you miss the cleansing power from an all-sufficient Christ, and you miss the constant refueling from a redeeming Savior. But there's one more thing you will miss. Finally, when you try to fix things yourself, you will miss the assurance of an everlasting future. We do not spend enough time thinking about where we will spend eternity. And I am of a mind to believe it is because many do not really believe eternity exists. Think about it. If you were certain that your soul could live forever, wouldn't you do everything in your power to guarantee it? And yet, that is not what we see. We see too many people testing God. And I'm not just talking about the unsaved. They seem to have no fear of the judgment seat of God. Heaven and hell are real. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. And I believe that the word of God was written by men divinely inspired by God. I believe God when he says that judgment day is coming, that the wicked will be sentenced to endless punishment and the righteous to endless joy. I believe that God will forever fix the final state of men in heaven or hell on the principles of his righteousness. The day of reckoning is coming for all of us. No one can live on this earth forever. And when that day comes, Romans 14 and 12 says, every one of us shall give an account of ourselves to God. Why? Because it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. When judgment day comes for all of us, it will not matter how much money you made, how many people you helped, how high a position you held, how many Bibles you owned, how often you attended church, what kind of car you drove. What will matter is, did you repent of your sins? Did you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you make restitution for your wrongdoings? Did you love your enemies? Did you live in and through and for Jesus Christ? On judgment day, God will judge where you spend eternity. It will be too late to pray, too late to confess, too late to ask for forgiveness, too late to kneel, too late to beg, and too late to seek your soul's salvation. Patches will not get you into heaven, but Jesus will. You can't fix it by yourself, but Jesus can. He'll intercede on behalf of every genuine Christian and plead your case before a righteous God. He has a ticket in his hand for every repentant soul. It simply says, admit one to heaven. Where there's life without any death, where there's peace without any strife, where there's love without any limits, where there is truth without any deceit, where there is safety without any fear, where there is abundance without any need, where there is comfort without any pain, joy without sorrow, glory without gloom, singing without sobbing, beauty without blemish, and worship without any rush. What will you do today? Will you continue to slap a patch over your sins? Or will you repent and be made new? Remember, you can't fix it, but Jesus can. My brothers and sisters, maybe you're on this conference call and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. I want to pray a prayer of salvation for you. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from death and giving me new life. Amen. If you believe this prayer by faith, you are saved.